Lord can't help us. I'm glad our help comes from above. Thank the Lord for that. Turn in your Bibles, please. Now, as you know, in 46 years, I've got sermons stuck everywhere and every office stacked up everywhere. I don't know how many hundreds I've got, but I want the Lord to lead me to which sermon to preach tonight. And I hadn't seen this sermon for years. I'd preached it about 12 years ago. And the Lord led me to preach it at the preacher's meeting Tuesday, and I'm preaching again tonight. Out of 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. Turn to 2nd, the woman and a pot of oil. One thing the Lord has taught me while all these 46 years as pastor here, that folks, the Lord can help us. The Lord can help us. He's an ever-present help, the Bible says. And when is it? In a time of need. And the Lord is, and in these 5 years since I've retired as pastor here, I preach, the Lord has had me to preach along this line in churches where I go, the Lord can help us. Sermons along that line. And this is a great passage of scripture, 2 Kings 4, verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her, and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou of thy children of the rest. This is a wonderful, wonderful miracle in the life of Elisha that we're going to look at tonight. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this privilege once again of being in the pulpit here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, Lord, where you blessed so many years. And I thank you for the privilege, Lord, of pastoring this church, this great church, for all these years. I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray for Brother Jody and all of those with him over in England. Give them a great climactic day and bring them home safely. And continue to bless Brother Jody and the ministry here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Now, Lord, help me tonight. I pray and touch me. I want to be a blessing. And Lord, would you fill me with your spirit and help me as I preach your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in these verses, we see the fifth miracle of Elisha. And the Lord God of heaven used a destitute woman and a little pot of oil to show his miracle working power. God can do anything he wants to do, anytime he wants to do, any way he wants to. Aren't you glad we serve a God like that? And as I started my study years ago on this, I put a note here that this interesting story, there was a question that came immediately to my mind. And you may have wondered about this too. Why did God choose to take this young prophet, take his life, and leave his young wife and two sons in abject poverty? Now, many times we don't understand why we have to suffer and have reversals and disappointments. And we just have to trust. The answer is just trust the Lord. And one day in heaven, as the song says, we will understand it better by and by. Now, I know that's a simplistic answer, but that's true. Just trust the Lord. But here in this passage of Scripture, we see some answers to the question of why. The calamities that befell this dear lady proved in the end to be a great blessing. And one of the greatest joys that can come to the human heart is to see the Lord come to our rescue and deliver us and see us through when the situation seems impossible. And God is the God of the impossible. So when the question comes, why, we should look up to heaven and say, Lord, I don't understand. But Lord, I'm going to trust you somehow, some way to see me through. And our God will see you through. If you're a born-again child of God, he will never fail his children. Now, this is the blessed truth we learn from Elisha's fifth miracle here. Now, I've failed many times in life, and so do you. But, you know, I'm glad to report that Jesus has never failed me the first time. Even when I didn't deserve him coming to my help, I'm glad he did. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth will pass away, but Jesus never fails. Hallelujah. We can stop and shout about 5 minutes on that right there, can't we? But I want to point out three things about this unnamed woman. And she is called, in verse 1, a certain woman. She was just one of the wives of the sons of the prophets. She was just a nobody. But she became a somebody in God's sight. You know, our Lord is in the business of making somebodies out of nobodies. He can do that. And, you know, if you're a born-again child of God, you are a somebody. You're a child of the King. Now, you ought to not go around proud as a peacock, but you ought to walk humbly, realizing that you're a child of the King. You are a somebody. Now, first of all, notice her distress. Her distress was threefold. Firstly, she lost her husband. We don't know much about her husband, but from what we know about him in verse 1, he seems to be a godly, good man. And her husband was a God-call man. He was a member of the school of the prophets headed up by Elisha. And they were called sons of the prophets, like we call our young preachers, preacher boys. Then he was a spiritual man. Elisha knew him, and this grieving widow reminded him in verse 1 that he knew that her husband did fear God. You know, the fear of God, folks, is what's lacking in America today. There's no fear of God before our eyes, it seems like, across America. But I think the greatest thing that you can have down in your bosom is a fear of God. I don't brag on being much, and I'm not much, but I think I have the fear of God. I believe if you're born again child of God, you will have the fear of God down in your heart. And listen, we need to teach our kids to fear God. That'll keep them straight down the road. And this man did fear God, and he was a man who didn't compromise and join up with the apostates and the ecumenical crowd of his day. He was one of the 7,000, I believe, who didn't bow his knee to Baal. And I believe he was a fundamental, premillennial, independent Baptist preacher too. Now, you won't find that in the King James. You'll have to look in the Greek Textus Receptus to find that. But I believe if he was alive today, that's exactly what he'd be. And I believe that also, when he went to the pulpit, I believe he'd have a King James Version to preach from. Say amen right there. Amen. And he was also a useful man. She told Elisha in verse 1, he had been thy servant. So he assisted Elisha in his great work that he's doing for God. You know what he was? He was a preacher's helper. And you know, one of the things that I appreciate for all the years I've been here as pastor, God gave us a lot of preacher helpers. Because a preacher, a church is not a one-man show. And the Lord raised up many preachers helpers. And Brother Jody, what he needs for his work in the future is a lot of preachers helpers around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You ought to ask Brother Jody, how can I help you? Pray for him and help Brother Jody. Then secondly, she not only lost her husband, she was about to lose her children. Her two sons were about to be snatched away from her. The creditors had come to take them to help pay off a big debt that she was left with when her husband died. It was about to break her heart, and she was going to lose her two precious children. And verse 1 says they were going to be bondmen. You know what bondman means? Slaves and serfs. They were going to be slaves. And it was breaking her heart. And there are many moms and dads all over this area, folks that are about to lose their children. Not for bad debts, but you know how they're losing their children? To drugs and whoremongering and homosexuality and the dance halls and the honky-tonks and the wild lifestyle. That's the way we're losing our kids today. And God help us. I don't think anything could be any worse for a parent than to see their children turn their back on the church and on the Bible and the Lord Jesus and live and die without Jesus Christ. And so moms and dads here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, don't let the devil get a one of your children. I mean, stand your ground against the devil and get on your knees and on your face and pray and live right in front of your children and pray for your children and don't do everything in your power to see they get saved and make heaven their home one day when life shall be no more. She lost her husband. She's about to lose her children. Then thirdly, she was poverty stricken. In verse 2, Elisha said, "Tell me, what hast thou in thy house?" And she said, "I don't have anything save a pot of oil." She was heavy in debt and poverty stricken, and she was poor down in Saudi, Tennessee, as they used to say. She was poor as Job's turkey. Now, I don't know how poor that is. Sounds pretty poor to me, though. All she had was a little pot of oil. But that is no hindrance when God comes on the scene. Aren't you glad of that? Little as much when God is in it. And this widow lady had only a little pot of oil, not much, but the Lord took it and used it for his glory. And you might say, "Preacher, I don't have much talent, or I don't have much ability, or have much personality, and God can't use me." You know, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. Just say, "Lord, I don't have much to offer, but what I have, I'm going to surrender to you." And the Lord can take the small talents that you have and bless and breathe upon them and use them for his glory. Just yield what you have, folks, to the Lord and watch him start blessing. I've told you many times how I fought the call to preach for 4 long years. In high school, I was captain of the football team, but I was scared to ask, as I've told you before, ask a girl for a date. The boys would get a date for me sometimes, and that thing would sit over there on that side, and I'd sit over here, and twain would never meet. I was scared of them like an animal. And I hated to give a book report. Now, I mean, and then here the Lord called me to preach. I wanted to be a preacher, but I just didn't think I could do it. So I went off to play ball down in Mississippi, and the Lord didn't give up on me. I'm glad he's merciful. And there in my junior year at Southern Mississippi, in the athletic dormitory, one night about midnight, the Lord, I believe, woke me up, and the call of God, but I felt it in my soul. And I got up, went out, got down on up the golf course out there, and I said, "Lord, if I make the biggest flop that ever got behind a pulpit, I'm going to preach." And the Lord didn't help me until I surrendered to him. And folks, if you'll surrender everything you have to the Lord, he can breathe upon it and can use it for his glory. Then, so look above your problems. Look to Jesus. So her distress, then second, her appeal. I want you to see three things about her appeal to Elisha. First of all, she appealed to the right person. She called on God's man, the prophet Elisha. And he was the only person in Israel who could help her. And she knew that here was a man who was in touch with heaven and could get things from God. You know, right there, it's the greatest thing you can do is be able to get in touch with God. Get a hold of God in prayer. Be a person that knows how to get a hold of God. Not too many people know how to get a hold of God today. And that's one of the greatest things in the world. But Elisha could get a hold of God, could get things from God. And she knew that he was a man of God in touch with heaven, could get things from God. There is only, and she knew that he was the only one who could help her. And you know, the only one can help us this evening with our great needs and problems is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we go to our friends and go to doctors and counselors and our favorite quacks, and we come away disappointed, disillusioned. We need to go to Jesus. He's the only one who can help us. 1 Timothy 2:5, the Word of God tells us there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And there's only one person in Israel could help this dear woman, and it was Elisha. And she came to the right person. And there's only one person who can help us this evening, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to look to him. So firstly, she appealed to the right person, and secondly, she appealed with a humble attitude. Now this is the key. She came to Elisha in desperation. She came to him with tears and with a broken heart. And God's word says in Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You want me to tell you how to be able to get through to God? Get desperate and get broken before God. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. Now, I've been preaching 61 years. I was 82 yesterday, still preaching. And I'm going to keep preaching as long as I can crawl in a pulpit. I'm going to keep preaching. I've been retired from this church, but I'm not retired from preaching. But there's one thing I've found over the years. Every time that I have been broken and I've wept when I come to the pulpit with a broken heart. You know, somebody was saved or somebody came to the altar. People came to the altar. You know, one of the things I wish that I'd have had more of down through the year is a broken and a contrite heart when I came to the pulpit. Like Jacob, who wrestled with the angel of God all night, we need to say, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And in Genesis 32:30, Jacob said the next morning, I've seen God face to face. So my message to you tonight, just keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer you. God keeps his promise, his word is true. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. Then thirdly, she appealed with an obedient spirit. This poor woman knew that Elisha was God's prophet, and she heard her husband tell some about of his mighty miracles. She told Elisha of her poverty and the creditors who had come after her two sons. And then this is fantastic. It's unbelievable. But he said, told this lady that she was poverty-stricken, losing her sons into slavery. And Elisha said, go borrow empty vessels and go home and shut the doors. Well, that's quite a bit of counseling he did there, wasn't it? But you know what? She could have rebelled at that. She could have said, why, you're mocking me. And here I am broke and all alone, my two kids, I'm about to lose them. And you tell me to go borrow empty vessels and go home and shut the door. That's a cruel, she could have said, that's a cruel joke. But you know, she didn't say that. Her faith was in God. She obeyed God's word, spoken to her by the prophet, and she did exactly what Elisha said and filled her house with empty vessels. And she obeyed God even though she didn't understand. God's word said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice and hearken than the fat of the rams. And folks, obedience has always been the way to get things from God. Oh, we've seen her distress and her appeal to God's man. Thirdly, let's see her deliverance. We see three things about her deliverance. First of all, it was by faith. This widowed woman hurried home after a conference with God's man. She went around to her neighbors. She collected every vessel she could. She didn't know how God was going to supply her need, but her faith was in the living God. And we may not see how God is going to help us with the problems we face, but we just need to keep looking to the Lord God of heaven. Jesus told the two blind men in Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, so be it unto you. And immediately their eyes were opened. And after this lady collected these empty vessels, the next thing she did was she got her two sons, went home, and shut the door. And just like Elisha said, and that showed her faith, she shut the world out and shut herself in with God. And I've quoted this little chorus before from this pulpit many times. There's a chorus we used to sing, shut in with God in a secret place. Shut in with God, beholding his face. Well, I want to be shut in with God. People ask me all the time, preacher, how in the world could you stay at a church 46 years as pastor? And, well, it's not, nobody's ever called me a great preacher. Nobody's ever called me a great theologian. Nobody's ever said I had a great personality. But you know, I found out, here's why I stayed at Buffalo Ridge 46 years. I found out I could pray and get things from God. And you can too if you're a child of God. If you'll just pray, you can get things from God. I'd come up here every morning, and when I retired, the deacons gave me a title. I own part of this building. I own that room right in there. And every morning, for all these years, ever since this church has been built here, when was it? 78, I believe it was. We built somewhere along there. But every morning I'd get up early and go over in that room right there and pray. And a lot of times I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know what to do about situations or a crisis in the church or something like that. But I'd pray. And you know what? Somehow, some way, the Lord would work it out. And that's why what kept me here for 46 years at Buffalo Ridge. And folks, listen. God, if you're saved, you can keep praying and keep praying. And God will, I'll guarantee you, the Lord will make a way somehow. I don't know how he's going to do it. He knows 1,000 ways to make a way for you if you'll just pray. Well, she borrowed empty vessels by faith. She shut the door and got alone by faith. And she started pouring out a little oil out of that little pot. It is all by faith. Now just think about it. Boy, she'd look silly if God didn't come on the scene, wouldn't she? But God never lets his children down. I'm glad of that. God always makes a way. Somehow. Did God come through for this dear lady? He sure did. She started pouring oil out of that one little pot. She filled the first empty vessel, and the boys brought the other vessels. And finally, every vessel that she had, that she borrowed, was filled, and the Bible says the oil stayed. And God rewarded her faith. So firstly, her deliverance was by faith. And secondly, her deliverance was by grace. Now, this poor lady didn't do anything to deserve this miraculous deliverance. It was simply by grace, which is the undeserved favor of God. And in the Bible, the number of grace is what? It's 5. So, as you would expect, this fifth miracle of Elijah was by the grace of God. You know, two things I mentioned, I think, in prayer meeting yesterday morning. Two things I appreciate about the Lord is his grace, which gives me what I don't deserve. And then his mercy holds back from me that which I do deserve. So I thank God for his grace and mercy. So she and her two sons were saved by the pure grace of God. Now, then one other thing about her deliverance. It was by faith, it was by grace, and then thirdly, it was sufficient for her every need. When every vessel was full, she ran to Elisha and told him the good news of what God had done for her. And Elisha told her in verse 7 to sell the oil and do two things. First of all, he said, pay thy debts. And she went immediately and sold the oil and paid her debts. Kept her sons out of slavery. And then secondly, Elisha told her to live thou and thy children off the rest. So what a happy woman we see here in verse 7. She not only paid their debts and saved her two sons that were about to be taken from her, but she had enough to live on the rest of her days on. That's pretty good security to have in your old age, isn't it? And the lesson of this miracle is that God is able to take care of his children. Now, I don't care what problems you may face. The Lord, if you're his child, if you'll look to him and seek his face, the Lord will see you through. Now, when I thought when I retired that things would go easy for me after I retired. How wrong I was. You know, your problems never end in this life. And a few months, about a year or so after I retired, I'm not going to go into the story. Now, you know the story of my son, Tory. How that we raised Tory, my wife and I raised him, that he surrendered for the mission field in his junior high years. Wanted to be a missionary and got 2 degrees from Bob Jones University and served 19 years in the field of Brazil, and said that told his mother and father that he said, I want to die in Brazil. And after 19 years, and I was a little over a year after I retired here, he had, you know the story, he had to come home and get a divorce and leave the field. And it just broke our hearts, and that he had to come home and get a divorce. And Ellen and I were so low that we almost had to look up to see bottom. And it seemed that the end of our world, you know how you would be if it's your son, had to come home from the field, get a divorce. One day, I forget where it was. I think it might have been right here, just walking around praying in front of this auditorium. The Lord laid 1 Thessalonians 5:18 on my heart. In everything, give thanks. Now, keep in mind, my son had to come home from the field after serving the Lord in Brazil for 19 years and get a divorce. And then the Lord, right in here, I believe it was, laid this 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Everything give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. And it broke my heart. I said, Lord, I didn't complain at God, but I just didn't know what to do. And I said, Lord, how can I give thanks for my son's divorce? And then I believe like a dart, the Holy Spirit said to my soul, by faith. And I looked up to heaven and I said, Lord, by faith, I thank you for my son's divorce. And can God take care of us? Our hearts were bleeding and Tory had to come home from the field, and what a situation that's in. But you know what? In less than 2 weeks after I said, Lord, by faith, I thank you for my son's divorce, Dr. Clarence Sexton was talking to Austin Cook, Dr. Cook up in Bristol, pastor up there, asked him, my name came up, and he said, how's Brother Lashley done? He said, well, he's going through a real trial right now. His son had to come home from Brazil and get a divorce. And you know what? Dr. Sexton, I'd never talked to him. I didn't say one word to him about it. He called me up and said, Brother Gene, I heard about your son. And he said, I know you, and I know Tory, and he's got 2 degrees from college, master's degrees. And he said, we just lost our mission teacher at Crown College. He said, bring him down, and I want to talk to him. And I took Tory down there, and Dr. Sexton interviewed Tory and hired him to teach missions at Crown College. And he's teaching other things, English grammar and Bible and things like that. And so my son, Tory, has been teaching Crown College for 3 years. And I asked him the other day, I said, Tori, you've taught 3 years. How do you feel about it? He said, Daddy, I love it. I love it. And the Lord God of Elijah is still on the throne. And he can take a little pot of oil. He can take anything. He can take anything. He can take a little pot of oil and provide for his children. Little is much when God is in it. If you'll humble yourself before the Lord, he can somehow, some way, meet that need. If you just bring it to Jesus, I'll guarantee you, he will not let you down. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to pray in just a moment. And the Lord laid this message on my heart to preach tonight. I preached it because I felt like that's what the Lord wanted me to preach. And the Lord, many of you have great needs that the Lord wants to help you with them. He's able to help you. If you humble yourself, say, Lord, I just don't know the way. I don't know what to do. Lord, somehow would you help me? I want your will to be done. I don't know what to do. Would you help me? And you'll find grace and help in that time of need if you'll just bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing. And tonight, we're going to just, let's just all stand right now. Keep our heads bowed and eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege of coming here tonight, Lord, and preaching on this great topic. And we thank you, Lord, that you can take care of our needs as we go down through life. And Lord, there's people here tonight with needs that maybe they wouldn't even tell anyone. And Lord, I pray that you would help them with these needs and meet the needs and show them that you can be God in their life and take care of them. And Lord, have your way now as we open the altar. Let's keep our heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's sing, what's the name of the song?
Tell It to Jesus.
Tell It to Jesus. Are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. And why don't you come? Let's just have a time of prayer right down at the altar now. If you have a great need, maybe a need that you wouldn't tell anyone, just come, get on your knees, and tell the Lord all about it. Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus.
Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted?
Bring that need to Jesus.
Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving? Over joys departed. Tell it to Jesus.
Tell it to Jesus. Bowed and eyes closed. Maybe there's somebody here tonight. You say, preacher, I've never been saved. Never been born again. If I die right now, I'm not sure of heaven. Maybe you're a Christian. You've maybe gotten away from the Lord. He's not real to you like he used to be. Why don't you come? Just come to the Lord. He loves you tonight. Come on down the aisle as we sing the next verse, brother.
Do the tears flow down your cheeks and
everybody lift it up now.
Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus.
Let's sing that first verse over again. Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted?
Are you weary? Are you heavy? Tell it to Jesus. Are you
great encouragement from God's Word. I know that'll be a help to all of us. Mark and Katie, we're delighted to have you. What I'd like you to do is, if you could slip out into the lobby, stand kind of in the middle there, let folks greet you, and they can get a prayer card. And I would encourage you, as the Lord leads you, as you shake Mark's hand, you might leave something in his hand there just to help him on the way here. And we're delighted to have them with us tonight. Lord bless you. Be praying for our folks as they'll be traveling. And let's all serve the Lord this week. You are dismissed.